Well, good morning, and thank you for having me on with you. I hope everything's going well with you.
Yes, absolutely. I think everyone's excited here for the start of the new school year. And before we get into that, this is your first appearance here on In Focus on K-Man, and I know you've been at the school year, for about a year now? Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Well, yes, I've been here since August of last year, since April of last year, and it's been a great experience, surrounded by some really good, most committed educators and a community that is very supportive of the school district. So very fortunate and very blessed to be in a setting where education is a priority.
All right. And obviously a prominent school district out there in the Junction City area. And school is about to get started there. I know you're one of the later starts in our listening area.
That is correct. Initially, we were planning on starting on the 17th, which would have been the first day for students. But we presented to the board an option to start school a couple of weeks later in order to give us time to implement the safety measures that we had in mind. And so this extra time has definitely been beneficial. It's given teachers an opportunity to return and have extra time in their buildings to get reacclimated. Many of our staff members had not been in their buildings or classrooms since March when the pandemic initially started. And so we felt it was going to be important to give principals an opportunity to meet with their staff, develop reentry plans, and just get everyone's nerves settled so that we could start the school year off successfully.
And as you've been making the plans, what's the feedback been like from teachers and how they're preparing? I know this is kind of an unusual time for them.
Well, for the past 4 days, I've had opportunities to visit my buildings and speak to teachers, and they're very excited. A little bit of apprehension is shared, but for the most part, they're excited to be back in the buildings. They miss their students, and they look forward to the start of a good year. They do appreciate all the safety measures that have been put in place or implemented, and so I think there's a level of excitement that we just haven't experienced in years before. I think the way we ended this previous year did not give teachers an opportunity to connect with their students, and that's the business we're in. We're in this business because we love interacting with people, love interacting with our young people, and so I think they missed that and are just very excited to be back in front of them, sharing and doing what they do best, which is teaching and connecting with young people.
I know a lot of parents with the school year starting may have some concerns about, you know, is it safe to send my kid to into a classroom setting here right now? What assurances can you give parents of students in your district to what you guys are doing to protect the health and safety of all students and staff?
Well, we've been educating the community ever since the pandemic started as far as safety measures. Of course, you know, everyone is required to wear a mask anytime they enter one of our buildings. That is a requirement. We also are going to practice social distancing or physical distancing to the best of our ability. We have implemented a plan to where we can actually put or replace the air in the buildings each day or on a weekly basis in order to ensure that we are pushing any of the virus out and replenishing the air again with fresh air from outside. We're hiring additional custodians in order to clean touch points or heavily trafficked areas. We've put just a lot of safety measures in place in order to ensure we are doing everything within our power to reduce the spread of the virus. Each school has also created a re-entrance plan, which allows them to talk about how lunch is going to be served, how students are going to walk up and down the hallway, how students will enter and exit the buildings. So just basic things of that nature in order to reduce large clusters of students in one area and to keep the flow of traffic moving again so that students aren't congregated in one particular area.
Yeah, we're speaking with Dr. Reginald Eggleston, superintendent of USD 475 Geary County Schools. Classes begin Monday, August 31st for them. And Will that be a half day for you, or will that be a full day?
That will be a half day. We actually just finished a Facebook Live, and we shared that Monday is the first day. It's a half day. We will not be serving any meals on that day. And this is just in an effort to help everyone plan and make preparations and for us to get an idea of our students and all. So, again, we're excited about the first day, and I'm sure all of our parents and students are as well.
And every district is different, the way they're delivering instruction. I know here in Manhattan, they've got the hybrid model they're starting out, so they have some kids going in person some days and then all distance learning other days. But I understand it, in your district specifically, it's all or nothing. Isn't that right?
Well, no, sir. We actually have remote learning for students who basically stated they were uncomfortable or may have a pre-existing health condition. So we have about 1,900 students who will be taking advantage of our remote learning opportunity, and we have close to 5,000 students that will be in the traditional learning. And so we'll actually have, in many ways, two separate school districts functioning and operating simultaneously.
Okay. And with the remote learning option there, how different will that look like from what we saw in the spring when everything was kind of just scrapped together at the last minute?
Well, there were a lot of lessons learned, I have to say, from what we experienced during the spring. And in addition to that, the State Department of Education provided a document called the Navigating Change document, which actually puts a lot more structure to how the remote learning should take place. For example, students have to document 360 minutes of actual learning. So it's actual educational learning activities. It doesn't mean that they have to be in front of the computer 6 hours, but they have to document that they have been involved or engaged in 6 hours of learning activities. Teachers will be delivering instruction. It's the same curriculum that they would receive if they were in the traditional setting. However, it will be delivered differently throughout the course of the day. There's a schedule, and teachers will be touching base with students all throughout the day just to make sure that they are receiving the same content, just in a different delivery method.
All right. I know there's probably going to be some challenges with that, no matter what. It's probably not 100% perfect. There'll be some learning along the way here, but is there any messaging you're telling teachers here in that if they're delivering remote learning?
Well, what we're trying to do is make sure that we stay connected to our students. We learned that during the spring, a lot of students may not have been as engaged as we would have liked. And so we were doing everything within our power to connect to the families, the students, parents, et cetera, in order to assist them. And so I think we have our approach to how to stay in touch with parents and students much better than we did initially. And like I said, there were a lot of lessons learned. We surveyed parents and teachers to find out what would be the best method for communicating, what would be best practices as far as how we can use our platform in a much user-friendly manner. And so I think we just learned how to tweak our presentation and improve our delivery of instruction and how we serve our parents and students from the surveys and the feedback that we received.
I know earlier this week I sat in on the intergovernmental luncheon here in Manhattan, and that includes a lot of different governmental agencies here in the region. But a big concern is childcare here for individuals who may not be able to send their kids to childcare with school starting if they're in remote capacity. What do you think is maybe a solution that needs to be looked at here going forward in terms of that aspect?
Well, I think we're going to have to embrace the entire community as we move forward with public education. It's something we've been trying to do. I think that the pandemic has demonstrated that multiple ways of educating young people will take place as we move forward. I don't think we're going to ever have traditional pre-K education again. And so I think because families have different needs, All community entities are going to have to be at the table to have a conversation. For example, today we have a meeting with all of our local medical providers just to share information with them and to receive feedback. And I think as we progress, whether it's the medical field or even dealing with child care, we're going to have everyone at the table to talk about how we can meet the needs of families moving forward.
All right. Very good. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Eggleston in just a moment. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.